This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, we expect to hear from Texans GM Nick Caserio momentarily. As soon as that press conference begins, we will take you there immediately. Text message, Seth should get an award as analogy user of the year. He's always on point. Here's the problem with that. If you gave Seth an award for it, he wouldn't accept it. He would take the trophy and he would throw it, unless it's a medal that says finisher on it.
Finisher.
I didn't even...
The Can Lake 50 in 2010, 50-mile ultra marathon.
The gravitas with which you pulled that into the shot.
Clint Sterner seems to think I'm just a big old fatty.
Yep.
No chance in hell old Sethers could beat Clint Sterner.
That's right.
Dirty red
in a mile.
He somehow thinks the Blue Chew is going to help him on that mile or something. Like, no. I'll tell you one thing about Clint Sterner.
We got Nick Caserio. You can tell the press conference. Yeah, well, here's Nick Caserio.
Excited to get started here. Say really the roster where it is, probably a snapshot of where ultimately it will be. Probably be a lot of changes between now and the end of the season, probably even before the start of the season. It's no different, you know, for us than it is the rest of the league. But I think we're in a decent spot. Try to have a good couple days of practice here today and tomorrow. And then the players have kind of that long weekend there, the mini bye. And we'll come back Monday and kind of get ready to go for, you know, one of the best teams in the league, a week from Sunday in the Rams. So, a lot of work went into this to get to this point. Players worked hard. Staff's worked hard. A lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations with a lot of people throughout the building, which will continue. D'Amico and I essentially, he was asked about this the other day. And we'll basically talk about the team, like, every day. And it just takes a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversation back and forth, and just try to arrive at a good endpoint that we feel makes sense for our team. And if there's an opportunity out there that makes sense, we'll consider it. We're always going to consider it. If not, we'll always be prepared with the group that we have. So overall, in a decent spot and kind of excited to flip the page here and get ready for our regular season.
Adding another tight end, or do you all feel like Rich Brooks is a person who could make you all flexible there?
Yeah, we'll see. And I've talked about this at different points. Some positions you carry your depth on the roster. Some positions you carry your depth off the roster. We view it as 65, 70 players are essentially available every week at our disposal, and whoever we feel can help us that particular week or game, we'll consider it. We probably very easily could have carried 60 to 65 players on the actual roster, but the rules are the rules. So we try to work within the parameters that were given by the league. So some positions, they'll be on the 53, some will be on the practice squad, but we don't view the practice squad players any differently than the players that are on the roster. Some of this is just mechanics and just positioning and, you know, where do you feel that you have to carry a player or handle a player. So, you know, we'll always look at it and ultimately do what we feel makes the most sense for our team.
When it comes to British Brooks and him making the team again, what did he show you, special teamer, and what is he showing you, just kind of how hard he works and kind of thing?
Yeah, when you look at our program, what are the hallmarks of our teams and, you know, what's important to D'Amico? Toughness, effort, physicality. I mean, like, who better embodies that than British Brooks. So the way he plays, his mindset, his toughness. I mean, the guy doesn't say boo, barely knows. There's a lot of guys like that. Doesn't really say much in the building. Lets his actions kind of do the talking. So British has earned his opportunity. The players that are on the team have earned their opportunity to be where they are. And there's a number of other players that aren't on the team that earn their opportunity as well. We'll kind of see how it all shakes out here over the next, you know, call it 24 hours. There's going to be a lot of movement. You'll get the waiver period here by 11 o'clock. Teams have to put the claims in. Then you'll form the practice squads by kind of 1 o'clock, midday. And then there'll be some other transactions tomorrow. But by Thursday afternoon, wherever you're going to be, that's where you're going to be for now. But, you know, British has worked really hard. Had his season cut short last year with the injury. But when he's been on the field, made an impact last year going back. I mean, he was active, you know, week one. And he made, you know, a tackle, I think, on kickoff coverage or something like that. So, I mean, that's, you know, when you're a role player, you have to do multiple things well. You're either starter on offense, starter on defense, or starter in a kicking game. So, now, again, we can only take, you know, 48 players at a game each week. So whether he's a part of that or not, you know, we'll have to see kind of all transpires. But British is a good kid, works really hard, embodies a lot of the qualities that we covet in this program.
With Mixon, or did y'all anticipate it would be this bad?
Yeah, I mean, with all injured players, kind of take it one day at a time, and so whatever their timeline is, you know, we kind of handle accordingly. I'd say the players that are on PUP or NFI, I mean, they're out 4 games or 4 weeks, so once we get through 4 weeks, we'll kind of evaluate it at that time.
Instead of PUP, was it something away from the facility?
No, I mean it's not my call, it's the league's call. So you turn the transactions in and they put the players in categories. So I mean, that's how it's handled.
Do you anticipate playing this year, Mixon?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll take it one day at a time and we'll evaluate those players after 4 weeks and kind of see where they are in their progression and then make a determination.
Define what now you just mentioned. This is the point where we are for now. So how long was that process? Are you talking about 96 hours? And then you sort of redo this process again?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say it's very fluid. Honestly, it's an ongoing process throughout the year. So when you look at some of the players that are currently on this team, let's just use Tommy Togiai as an example. A year ago, we weren't even talking about Tommy Togiai. He wasn't on our team. He wasn't in training camp. He wasn't on the practice squad. We signed him, I want to say it was like end of September, beginning of October. Kind of started on a practice squad, worked his way to the roster. And, you know, a year later, here he is, you know, on a 53-man roster, you know, with an opportunity to make a contribution. So go back 2 years ago, you know, we were having this conversation. I mean, nobody was talking about Derek Barnett. You know, Derek Barnett, you know, waiver claim in November, and DB's been, I'd say, an integral part of what we're doing here the last, you know, few years. So it's a fixed point in time. I mean, it's just the rules are the rules. Everybody's got to get to 53. Then you form a practice squad. So you're going to see a lot of movement, probably more movement on and off practice squads than you will see on the roster. But at any point, a player could go from the practice squad to the roster, you know, and it's a simple transaction. So we view it as an ongoing thing, no different. We've talked about this. I mean, everybody gets excited about the draft. I mean, I think more of a deal is made out of the draft than really should be. It's just a fixed point in time. No different. Here we are in training camp to go from 90 to 53. It's a fixed point in time. But the roster building process really is ongoing. And there's going to be other opportunities out there for us. And we'll always look at it and we'll consider it. And if it makes sense, we'll do it. And if it doesn't, we won't. But that's kind of how we handle it.
Tommy, what have you liked about him since he's gotten here? And has he exceeded expectations for a guy you just brought up?
Yeah, similar answer regarding British Brooks. I mean, Tommy's one of the hardest working players in our building, probably been one of the most consistent players from the start of the offseason program till now. I mean, he started training in February. I mean, I want to say he's like a 700-pound squatter. He's like one of the strongest guys on the team. So, I mean, Tommy was a good football player at Ohio State, you know, fourth-round pick by the Browns. Didn't work out, kind of had some injuries. Shortchanged him there a little bit, but, you know, Tommy's an NFL football player. He's got the right mindset. He's got the right attitude. He works his tail off. He goes out there and makes plays. So, you know, he's been really good to work with. Has taken advantage of his opportunities when they've been provided, and, you know, glad he's here.
Did it become a reality to you guys that Joe was going to miss this much time?
Yeah, we take it one day at a time, and, you know, can't really – there's no crystal ball out there. So, I mean, we build a team and take the information and, you know, plan accordingly. So Joe's not available right now, so whenever he becomes available, you know, we'll talk about it at that time, at that point in time.
If he isn't able to play, do you feel like this running back room can handle his loss?
Yeah, we feel the players that are on the team right now can help us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here. So you know, whoever's got to play, we're going to probably need everybody at some point. So the players that are on the team, we're going to need them. The players on our practice squad, we're going to need. So whoever's in the building, the expectation is that you're going to prepare each week and get ready to play, and that you can help our team. You know, there's multiple examples of that. D'Angelo Ross, I mean, there's another player, practice squad, has helped us in a kicking game, made an impact. Adar Holman over the course of his career. I mean, there's multiple players that have been off a roster on a practice squad who we've activated for games, and they have gone out there. Tommy, we just talked about him. Like, nobody was talking about Tommy Togiai last year at this point either. And he's gone out there in playoff games and actually helped us win. So whoever's here, the expectation is you're going to get yourself ready to play. If there's a better option out there for us, we'll consider it. If there's not, then, you know, then we won't.
Like CJ, quarterback, you have Davis, who's been his backup for a couple years now. What goes into keeping Graham Mertz on the roster versus another roster spot at another position?
Yeah, I mean, just try to keep, you know, good football players in the building. Some of this roster mechanics, like what do we feel makes the most sense? So, I mean, every team's going to have a third quarterback in some capacity. Some will be on, some will be on a practice squad. When you look at the numbers, probably half and half. So it's just a matter of, like, what do you think makes the most sense? We've done it both ways. We've had two on. You know, last year we had two. We've had three at different points. So we just felt like that made the most sense for Graham at this point in time. Graham's worked hard, played well the other day. He's been pretty consistent, really, since he's walked in the building. It's kind of taking a little bit of time to get up to speed, you know, coming off of, you know, the ACL injury there that he sustained back there at Florida. So, you know, some of it is just whatever we feel makes the most sense for the team. And there's going to be players, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, if our depth's not on a roster, probably going to carry it off the roster, so might be able to supplement it in a couple different ways.
USC, Jalen Smith played a lot of positions outside. He also played some nickel. Do you guys like what he could do potentially as a backup nickel to Jalen Petrie?
You talk about J-Rock, Jalen. Yeah, he's taking reps a little bit in, a little bit out. Probably worked a little bit more on the perimeter here. So we'll just try to figure out, like, what makes the most sense. We have a number of players that have experience playing inside the formation. Petey's one of them. Kamari's played inside the formation. Miles Bryant's played inside the formation. I mean, he's not here right now, but, you know, Miles has experience there. Even CeeDee, when he was in Philadelphia, has played inside the formation. So we'll just try to find guys that maybe have a certain degree of flexibility. And really, whatever you ask them to do, making sure that you're not asking them to do something that either A, they're not comfortable with, or B, maybe they're better off doing something else. So we'll figure out kind of what makes the most sense. But we feel like we have, I mean, a number of versatile players back there in the secondary. I mean, other than Stingley, I mean, you know, most of the guys have some position flex. And honestly, if Stingley had to go inside and play inside the formation, the situationally, I mean, guy's the best corner in the league, so I'm sure he could probably figure it out.
J. Gardner-Johnson, it appears a reasonable assumption that he's on the roster because he could be available in the first couple of weeks of the season.
We'll see. I mean, you know, he's worked hard. I mean, we'll see if he's, you know, ready to practice here at some point. So, CeeDee's a good player. We think he can help us. So, you know, we'll kind of see how much progress he makes. And again, we're not playing a game for, you know, 10 days. So, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and the start of the season. So, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, CeeDee's in a good spot. He's worked really hard and, you know, made some progress. So, we'll see, you know, when he's ready to go.
You as a quarterback know a former quarterback know the importance of OC and
a
quarterback.
A bad quarterback.
Well, you set some records at
they got obliterated.
Okay. But you know the importance of quarterback and an offensive coordinator being on the same accord. How have you seen that develop over time with CJ and Nick Cayley?
It's no different than probably the relationship that D'Amico and I have. I mean, you're in constant contact. You talk about everything. So there's communication back and forth. Hey, like this, what do you think? You know, I'm not really comfortable with that. Maybe it's something else. So that's how it should work. I mean, any good relationship, I mean, it's about good communication. So it starts there. So whether it's football, whether it's in life, I mean, my kids don't like maybe the communication we have, but I mean, it's about good constructive dialogue, good communication. And ultimately, quarterback's got to be comfortable because he's the one, the ball's in his hand 99% of the times in every play. So and in the end, like, there's only once the play clock cuts off, after 15 seconds, I mean, you're on your own. So you want to make sure that you're comfortable with the call, comfortable with the formationing, comfortable with, you know, where you're going with the football. Maybe it's a mechanic thing. Maybe it's a technique. Maybe, hey, can we make this adjustment to the formation? Hey, that's a good idea. I've seen the best relationships that I've seen in that situation. There's just a lot of dialogue. You know, saw firsthand kind of how that went with Tommy and Josh. I mean, honestly, it was – I mean, Josh probably got sick of Tom, but, I mean, that's all right. But, I mean, we're talking from – Sundays after the game until Sunday morning before the next game. I mean, that's what it takes. Hardest position to play in all of sports. It takes a lot of work and constant communication and dialogue on a day-to-day basis.
When you first got here, we were talking about process over results during the rebuild. What would you, how would you describe this phase as compared to where you were those first two?
Yeah, no different. I think our program is very process oriented. You know, if you have a good process in place, hopefully it leads to good results. Sometimes good process doesn't necessarily lead to the best results, but what we've tried to do is just establish some level of consistency on a day-to-day basis, what we're doing on all levels, coaching, scouting, nutrition, player performance in all areas, and just get the right people in the building, understanding that it's a hard business. I mean, you're going to face some adversity. You're going to face, you know, some stretches where things aren't going great. So you're either going to withstand that or you're going to wilt. You know, we feel we can handle, you know, anything that's put in front of us. And, I mean, that's what you want to kind of build. So you just got to focus on the process, because the reality is, Landry, after a game on Sunday, you have to go back and start over, right? So post-game, all right, then you got to rebuild back up to get back to that same point. So you just don't go from one week to the next. So I mean, if you have good process, I mean, D'Amico and I both believe that strongly, you know, and having good process, being consistent day to day, if there's an area that we can tweak or improve that can enhance our program, we're always going to consider that. And I think as long as we're here, that will be the approach.
Progress very on to nursery, and how does that progress and the injury to Cam Robbins kind of affect the tackle position?
Yeah, I mean, offensive line, we'll put the best five guys out there. So however we deploy them, you know, Tay's a good player. I mean, that's why we drafted him. And, you know, he's worked on the right, he's worked on the left. We have a number of players in the offensive line that have position versatility. You know, Titus honestly has played all four positions on the offensive line other than center. Even going back to 21, I mean, he was out there at left tackle, you know, against San Francisco. He's played left guard. So, again, what we're trying to do on the offensive line, we've talked about this, you know, to try to have enough players that have some position versatility. Because if you lose somebody at one spot, what's the solution? So is it you move a guy, or as you take the sixth, seventh, or eighth player and he goes in, and then you have to move somebody else over? So, you know, we feel that that room, we got a lot of versatility and a lot of flexibility there. You know, we'll get the five best guys out there and kind of see what it looks like.
Cam Robinson, and given that you all have an excess of tackles, do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I've said this multiple times. I mean, can't ever have enough tackles in your building. So I feel like, you know, however you count Titus, we have 3.5 tackles, we have 4 tackles, but we have a number of players that can play tackle. Even Deck, I mean, I know we traded him yesterday, but I mean, Deck had a good preseason. I mean, there's a guy that's actually started games in the NFL. So, you know, it was a situation where it felt like, all right, kind of made sense. Probably have a good opportunity out there. So you're going to need tackles. So feel like we have some decent ones here. Hopefully we can keep them in the building, because at some point we're probably going to need all of them.
When you were talking about the league handling NFI and PUP, do you view reserve NFI for Joe no different than a guy on IR designated to return?
It's the same category. Yeah, some of this is logistics and vernacular. Honestly, I think a lot of it is made more of it than it really is. So whatever the status is or on reserve, it's 4 games. So after 4 games, then you see where the player is. It doesn't mean they're going to come back. It just means they're available to start the 21-day window. So those players are all treated the same. That's how we view it. Maybe other teams view it differently, but that's kind of how we approach it.
Ready to say whether he'd be available over that 7 weeks, concluding that 21-day window?
Yeah, all those players that are on that reserve category, every single one of them, they're out 4 weeks. So after 4 weeks, we'll see where they are.
Besides this, but did you expect, or were you surprised that Jimmy was placed on the commissioner's exempt list?
Yeah, whatever the league decide. I mean, honestly, it's their decision, so we'll deal with it accordingly. You know, kind of let the process play itself out. So, I mean, I don't really have anything to add beyond that.
About just kind of how your relationship with D'Amico, how it's evolved over these 3 seasons, and kind of just talk about maybe how in sync you guys are at this point.
Yeah, honestly, probably hasn't changed since the day we hired him to where we are now. I mean, and like I've said this publicly, I've said this privately. I mean, you know, I flat out love the guy. I have a massive amount of appreciation and respect for who he is, what he's about. You see, when we talk to players, especially when you're going through the release process, it's not an easy process, but the class and dignity with which we try to handle it, and then the what's expressed from the players to him, how they hold him in the regard that they do, I mean, honestly, it's pretty uplifting. So, I mean, we talk a lot. I think we see football through the same lens. We have a massive amount of respect for each other and the jobs that we have to do. But in the end, we're this building is about doing things as a team, and it's doing things collectively. So no one person is bigger than the team. No one person is bigger than the organization. We both feel that way. Philosophically, we're aligned that way. I mean, and I've said this, he's as good of a human being and a person as he is a coach, and he's one of the best coaches in the league. So, I mean, our relationship has been really good from the start. I think it's grown each year, and, you know, I'm glad he's our coach. Really wouldn't want to work with anybody else, you know, and hopefully it continues to lead to pretty good results, and we can keep moving the organization in a good direction. I mean, I say this humbly, but I think, you know, our program is pretty respected league-wide. It's because of the players and because of the people in the building. People want to be here. You know, when a player basically says, look, I hope I don't get claimed so I can go to your practice squad, I mean, honestly, it speaks to where your program is. So, you know, we've come a long way. I mean, look, I was here for, you know, 21. Nobody was saying that. So, like, we're obviously in a different spot. So hopefully we can just keep doing the right things, being consistent day to day, treat people the right way, just be honest with them and tell them the truth. And it starts at the top with him. Now, he won't take credit, you know, because he's so humble and his nature isn't. But everything starts with him. And then it disseminates throughout the rest of the building. So I've said this multiple times. My job is to support him in any capacity possible, whatever that entails. And for as long as I'm in the position that I'm in, then that's my commitment to him and to the organization.
So you're basically saying y'all have an arm wrestle yet?
He'll beat my ass. Like we work out together, but he's moving more weight than I am. So, but yeah, he can go out there and probably still make a tackle if he had to.
From an organizational perspective, like handling injuries and information and stuff like that, what is the approach that you and D'Amico take when it comes to injury information and players and whatnot?
Yeah, protect the players. So again, I mean, it's not public information. So we're trying to do, again, because here's what's happened with injuries, Landry, all right? Everybody tries to make an extrapolation about when are they ready, what are they doing? Well, you guys said it was this number of weeks, then it was early, then it was later. Like, there's no good solution. The solution is protect the players and look out for the best interest of the players. Take it one day at a time. Everybody's on a different timetable. Everybody's got a different process that they have to go through. And that's how we handle it. So, again, like, other teams may handle it differently. So we just do what we feel is in the best interest of the team and what's best for the players. And D'Amico has said this. He was a former player, so he obviously has a pretty good lens. I just think sometimes, you know, there's an extrapolation that tries to get made about every little detail and about what a player is going through. Look, players are dealing with a lot, and I would say in a lot of cases, it's very mentally fatiguing and taxing for that particular player. And who else, you know, nobody else really knows what else they have going on top of their injury. So we're trying to be sensitive. Look, I understand you all have a job to do and you're trying to get information. Like, we understand that. We respect that. But we're also trying to look out for the best interest of the players, because that's what we feel our responsibility is to them.
You're listening to Texans GM Nick Caserio's press conference.
If you know someone's going to be out for 2 months and you don't say anything, then doesn't the assumption kind of work the other way, where people think, well, oh, he could be back next week, he could be back next week? Does that kind of put the player in a tough spot too?
No. I mean, I'd say in the situations that we're in, I mean, the NFI, you know, PUP are our guys. I mean, you know, they're off 4 weeks. So let's see where we are after 4 weeks, and then we'll make a determination about their progress moving forward. All right. Thanks.
All right. That was Texans GM Nick Caserio. All right. We got a lot to dig into there. From beginning to end at that press conference. So I've got a bunch of bullet points jotted down, Seth. I'm sure you do as well. There were two big things, I think, two big takeaways from that press conference that we will hit coming up next.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, there was a lot to digest from Nick Caserio's press conference. Boy, the last few minutes of it were saucy, where Nick was getting into kind of their methodology and their reasoning for the way they for why they handle disseminating injury information the way they do. He had a nice back and forth there with Landry Locker that I think is very usable. I think for purposes of what this team is going to look like moving forward, Seth, I do think there were two things that jumped out at me. One was when he was asked about the versatility in the secondary. You and I both looked at each other at the exact same time. And he brought up Miles Bryant as an example of the versatility in the secondary. And I think we're both like, wait a second. He's not on the roster.
Well, and he said, he's not on the roster right now. He didn't emphasize the right now like I did. But I think in line with everything that Elsie said about this initial 53-man roster is that there's going to be a lot of changes in the next 24 hours.
Yep.
And then probably more changes after that leading up to week one and against the Rams. And Miles Bryant, I think, very good chance that just for reasons of roster flexibility or whatever they needed to do, they're looking at him as a guy that if everything plays out a certain way, they just bring him right back out of the roster.
Back. Now, and who knows, he might have been one of the guys, you know, Nick referred to players now just talking about the quality of the program they've put together here.
Yeah.
That he said, boy, when you get guys saying, I hope I don't get claimed because I want to come back and be on your practice squad. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows, maybe Miles Bryant is one of those guys. But I thought that was a definite tell that Miles Bryant is going to be part of this football team in some capacity moving forward.
And the funny thing there was that he said it wasn't like that in 2021.
He's very open about that, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't. Guys weren't saying like, oh, I hope I can stick around.
Yeah. I think the other thing, the elephant in the room, Joe Mixon. He got hit with a lot of Joe Mixon questions, right? He got hit with a lot of Joe Mixon questions. The two words you never want to hear when you're hoping for something definitive to come out of your Q&A with anybody, whether it's your parents, your kids, your GM of your football team, the two magic words, we'll see.
Right.
And don't like that.
We heard that multiple times.
Yeah.
And it was, I think right now it's funny. The last time the Texans were super tight-lipped about a position of great importance, it was in the 2023 draft. And when the Nugget Hussies don't get what they want, which is some kind of information or a leak from the team, that's when we had Adam Schefter saying that it was his feeling that the Texans probably weren't going to take a quarterback at all.
Yeah.
They just start making stuff up. And right now I'm really, really careful about various people talking about how, well, no, it's pretty obvious that he'll be back week 13 at the earliest and probably not at all based on the nature of this or that. Like, I just don't buy into any of it, because in the absence of any information at all, people really just let their imaginations run rampant. So I don't know. I wish I could say that I'm confident he'll be back in week 5, but I'm not. I just don't know if or when Joe Mixon's going to return this year.
The team doesn't put out any information. The team is very tight-lipped. They're very good at being tight-lipped. I think the thing that concerns me the most is that we've not seen Joe Mixon at all.
Right.
We've not seen him. And this is very similar. I think someone on the text page made this comparison yesterday. And from this standpoint, I think it's appropriate, which is that Christian Harris was absent last year. Not just that he wasn't practicing. Guys that aren't practicing are still out at practice, most of them. And they're
learning the scheme, perhaps. Standing behind the offense as the offense is running the plays.
Yes.
We just haven't seen any of that with Joe Mixon.
Any of that with Joe Mixon in a brand new offense. I'll point that out as well. It would seem to me that there would be that would be a productive thing to be standing there. That's the thing that concerns me the most, is that his absenteeism or ness, whatever word we're, the fact that he's absent, the fact that he's not out there, the fact that we don't see his face. Not even working out on a side field there. That's the part that concerns me, that this thing is really serious and that we might not see Joe Mixon this year. And then I start to think, if it's something that's bad enough to knock him out for the season, then how serious is that in terms of the third year of his contract with the Texans?
The other big question is that we don't actually know how he got injured.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it, just in that it's a non-football injury. If the Texans wanted to play hardball or whatever, if they had some kind of concerns about it, like let's say hypothetically had done it in a non-workout type of situation or something, they technically don't have to pay him.
Right.
And that's salary cap relief. So barring any kind of drama there, I just have to guess that there's still some hope at this point. I don't know what the level of hope should be, but the longer and longer you go without information, but I think importantly, Sean, what you're saying, when the longer you go without actually seeing Joe Mixon in the flesh, that's what starts to make me pessimistic.
I'm there already. I'm there already. Some other bullet points I wrote down is, you pointed out, Seth, right out of the chute, Nick said it's going to be a lot of movement here over the next, I'm paraphrasing, but really it sounds like over the next couple of days, you know, the waiver wire. If I had to guess, it's him bringing up the waiver wire tells me that they probably put in a claim maybe on a player or two.
So those of you who don't know, you put in a claim on the waiver wire, and it's all based right now on how you finished last season.
It's a draft
So basically, you put in a claim, and at the end, when the waiver wire is up, whoever has the highest position on the waiver wire who claimed a particular player gets that player, is awarded that player. So you don't know until the waiver wire is complete whether you have these guys or not.
If the Tennessee Titans want to pick up 7 guys off the waiver wire, they know they're going to get them because they're picking first.
If you put in a claim, you're going to get that guy.
It's the draft order, basically, is what that is.
It's another one of the little ways that things kind of balance out the competitive balance, aside from just because it's based, it's the same as the draft order. It just kind of gives the worst teams last year a leg up.
We should point out that the waiver process only applies to players that are on their rookie contracts. If you're a veteran, if you're a vested veteran of four years or more, when the team lets you go, they release you. You're a free agent.
If the Cowboys decide to cut Myles Garrett, or if they decide to cut, what the hell, Sean?
I don't know who you're talking about. Micah Parsons.
Thank you. Yeah. My God. Yeah. Not you. Me, myself.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons, which I wouldn't put it past the Cowboys. I don't know what the hell Jerry's doing these days. He would be on the waiver wire. He's on his rookie contract.
He still is on his rookie deal, yeah.
Or maybe he's not because he's a vested veteran.
Yeah,
whatever.
He's 4 years, whatever the case.
Yeah, whatever. So that's where you're just in the waiting game right now, and you'll find out later today, right?
I think noon today is when they start telling you, they start releasing who got picked up on waivers. Point being that don't get too married to this 53, or at least three or four of them probably, that there's going to be the Texans are – I mean, Nick Caserio said it himself. He called this is just a fixed point in time. That's all it is. It gets a lot of attention because it draws eyeballs. It makes for good radio. It's a, you know, it's you're cutting from 90 to 53. There's a lot of content there. He called the draft a point in time. See, Nick Caserio is an enemy to the people in marketing in the NFL. Like, people are trying to market the draft and the roster cutdowns, and Nick's like, just a point in time. It's all it is.
It's all big, same old, just another way to acquire players. And some of them will work out, some of them won't. Yes. Get them in the building, et cetera, et cetera.
That's it. All right, so those are some of the things. I have a few other things written down that we can get to. But the running back room got a ton of attention in that press conference. How is C.J. Stroud feeling about that room? He talked about it on First Take yesterday. We'll hear from the Texans quarterback, and we'll find out what the guy's got going on In the Loop today. We'll do that coming up next.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress,
to visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, text message.
Really just to stay focused on what I can control, my attitude, my effort, my play in some ways, but... You know, I thought I was proud of our team, you know, through the injuries, through the hard times. We still competed. We made a, you know, a good playoff run, competed against some of the big dogs in the league every time we faced them. So, you know, you can't always be perfect or play perfect, but when your numbers are called, I feel like we competed last year, so that's what I learned.
That was C.J. Stroud. What did you learn from 2024? That was on First Take yesterday. We'll hear from C.J. again in just a second. We were talking about the waiver process in the NFL because obviously now there's hundreds of players out there that have been waived and are available for teams to pick up, and the process is basically it's the draft order. You put a claim in on a player. If nobody that was ahead of you in the draft order last April puts a claim in on that player, the player is yours. Texter asks, once you claim a player, don't you go back to number 32 and the process adjusts in terms of position? No, that's the waiver order in your fantasy league if you're playing on CBSSports.com. That's how that works, is that when you put in a claim, you go to the back of the line, yeah.
Yeah, why doesn't the NFL switch to a fantasy-based format?
That would be great.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah, that would be sweet. That's not how – so the Titans can pick up as many people as they want to.
And that's where it gets interesting when you look at some of the – maybe when you look at the, hey, the tight ends only have two guys right now, you don't know which tight ends they might have put a waiver claim in on or whatever. But then also, once you get those waiver claims, you got to make corresponding roster moves to boot somebody off of your roster if you want to get that guy on. So it's – that's why – boy, talk about having the rug pulled out from you. I see all these people talking about how stressful it is at the final cut. And I feel like, well, yeah, but then there's the 24 hours after that, too, mm-hmm. where you think you made it, but then you find out, like, oh, no, actually, no.
It's like when your
lottery numbers come in and you don't realize that you forgot to, you know, your wife forgot to buy the ticket that day. Like, we've been buying the same, playing the same numbers for 27 years. Finally, it came in and your wife's like, well, I wanted some cheesecake and I needed the cash.
That's right. It is interesting that when Nick was asked about that, he was asked about Graham Mertz specifically. And he was happy. You know, he talked about how Graham Mertz did some good things. But then as part of that answer was talking about how sometimes these things are done. This is how you're managing the roster throughout this process, which told me, if I had to guess, that that I think they want Graham Mertz here. I think they thought he had played well enough in that preseason game and maybe was well enough thought of by a few teams around the league where if they did waive him, he'd get picked up. So maybe let the dust settle a little bit. Let's keep him on the roster. And then we know we're going to have to probably get another tight end, or certainly they need another defensive back. There's no question. They might be able to muck their way through the early part of the season with two tight ends and maybe playing Cam Robinson as a blocker. Four safeties and four corners is not enough in today's NFL. They're going to, you know, so Mertz might be the guy that gets odd man out once the dust has settled a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that with Mertz, you still have to worry about him, you know, getting picked up by another team. Yeah. You put him on waivers at any point in the season, and he goes either gets picked up or goes to practice squad, and another team tries to sign him, perhaps. Yeah. Like, it's not as simple as, okay, now we've got him on the initial 53.
Right.
We got I think they like the upside there.
Yeah.
Davis Mills, you know, if perhaps he decides to test free agency at some point, then
you should. Just,
yeah, yeah. Like you, it'll be interesting. It gets dicey when the injuries start to mount.
Yes,
up.
Yes.
And you've got this useless appendage and a third string quarterback hanging around on the roster.
Yeah. Okay. Good question by the texter asking about the waiver process. That's wild. Do they stay at one all season, the Titans? No.
No.
First 3 weeks. This order, the draft order from last year, is the waiver order until week four, and then it's whatever the reverse order is in that given week.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
I've always suspected that the Rams always get off to a slow start, and I wouldn't put it past Les Snead, who I like a lot.
Yeah.
Their GM is being like, well, you know what? Maybe we're a little higher up on the waiver wire this time.
He would definitely
That'd be a bold strategy, but it's
he would definitely see it as a silver lining for sure. They would definitely take advantage of it. Let me put it that way, for sure.
Yeah.
Here was C.J. Stroud on First Take yesterday. The running back room as a whole got a lot of attention in Nick Caserio's press conference that we just ran within the last hour, in part because of Joe Mixon's injury, in part because Nick Chubb is a big name that's in that room. Locally here, I feel like British Brooks got a lot of attention in that press conference. There were two or three or four British Brooks questions. How is C.J. Stroud feeling about the running back room, especially knowing that Joe Mixon is going to be out at the very least for a period of time.
Yeah, Nick looks great, man. I'm, you know, hoping Joe gets back healthy soon. Nick looks amazing. He looks, you know, fresh. He's powerful. In this type of scheme, you know, I think he's going to do great. I think Damian Pierce is going to have another great year. You know, this is his type of scheme, downhill running. And then, you know, we got a couple young rookies that are really good. Woody Marks, who we got from USC, is a baller. Great, smart young kid who loves ball. And I think, you know, that room is doing great. Our tight ends are blocking their tails off, running great routes. So, yeah, I think it's gonna be trending up.
My Stephen A. Smith, when he asks these questions, it's funny because he's in full-blown hot take mode, like, yes, while he's asking the question.
Yeah.
And then CJ's kind of – as CJ has pointed out this offseason or this preseason, is like he's a little bit lower energy, you know, in terms of he's more laid back than, say, a guy like Nick Caley. So CJ's not biting on the – CJ wasn't biting on the full-throated questions by Stephen A. Smith. I think that Woody Marks is probably the one that people are most intrigued by, and I think with good reason. I think the his ability as a receiver, but then also as a runner. And we saw, look, preseason games – but he knocked some dudes back. He's stronger than you expect. Jalen Knowles that way too. Mm-hmm. He's way stronger and more physically tough than you expect based on their size. They can run behind their pads and all that stuff. Woody Marks might end up being maybe like one of the early season, you know, kind of breakout darlings for people to talk about.
Yes.
If the Texans. If he shows up with some big moments, and I think he's capable of doing that, that ends up looking like a really good pick for the Texans.
I'm 100% on the Woody Marks train. I think he's going to be a big part of this team, especially if Joe Mixon is going to miss more than four games. Like Woody Marks almost has to be a crucial part of this offense if you're missing Joe Mixon for a huge chunk of the season, if not the whole season. Here was C.J. Stroud on First Take yesterday when Stephen A. Smith asked him about all the injuries at the wide receiver position last year.
I mean, we lost some games we shouldn't have lost off the strength of, you know, just not really scoring points. Our defense, you know, held us alive a lot last year. And we were a great offense. I felt when we had our guys, you know, it's tough to say what if. But I definitely believe, you know, that we had those guys a little more. But, you know, I'm not here to hop on the pass. You know, those things happen. And you know, now we're moving on. We got some new pieces, some new guys, and you know, I think we're doing a good job of building a foundation to where we have more depth in that room. But I think we've done a great job of just passing through the adversity, learning from it, and letting it train us.
Definitely more depth. I mean, they kept seven guys in that room, so by definition, you know, they kept an abnormal number of guys in that room. You know, how many guys do they have that can make plays like the combination they anticipated having last year of Nico, Tank, and Diggs? You know, does this room have that kind of upside? I don't think they do, but if they stay healthy, I think it can be a really good receivers room.
I think the ability to game plan and to kind of figure out what's going to work or what is working against different opponents, that's the interesting part for me, because you've got two slot receivers. Christian Kirk, who's ready to go. Jalen Knoll, who, you know, he's still a rookie. I think he's going to flash, and they're going to use him in certain packages. But I don't know if you get a steady diet of him. But you got those two guys that are that body type. Then you got Nico Collins and Jaden Higgins, who are almost, in a lot of ways, identical in terms of just how they look and what their, you know, their measurables are and everything. Nico's just got a lot more polish, obviously, and there's just a little something extra to him in the way he moves at that size. But you've got the ability to attack multiple different ways.
Yeah.
And the receivers are – it would be really hard for me, other than Nico, to point out which guy's really going to get the most targets other than Nico on any given day.
CJ talked about games where the defense has done their job and we as an offense didn't have their back, basically is what he was saying. Like, they did their job, we didn't do ours, and we lost games we shouldn't have lost. And I'll point back to it again, Seth, and I think this is the key. If the Texans are going to get to where they've not been before, a conference title game, I think the key is to either be the one or the two seed to make sure that you're home in that divisional round. They've never played a home divisional round game. They played in eight divisional round games as a franchise. All of them have been on the road because they're either the three or the four seed when they win the division. But that four-week period last year where the Jets game on Halloween night, when they made Aaron Rodgers, you know, I know the defense in the second half didn't really do their job, but they were kind of collapsing under the weight of the fact that the offense did nothing in that game Right. You know, so there's that. The Week 10 game where the defense created five turnovers with Jared Goff. They intercepted him five times, and the offense couldn't score in the second half of the football game.
And the big part of that game was they kept trading turnovers.
Yeah.
The Texans got an interception. CJ throws an interception. The Texans get an interception. CJ throws an interception.
Yes. And then the Titans game in Week 12 where the defense gets eight sacks and a pick six, and you lose at home to Will Levis because the offense can't score.
They sacked him. How many times did they sack him in the first half?
Seven.
Seven times in the first half. And they lose the game. In the first half, Will Levis, you're thinking, is going to be lucky to be alive at the end of this game.
Yeah.
They won it.
They won. And you had a pick six in that game. I think it was Jimmy Ward had the pick six in that game. So,
for those of you who missed it, Jimmy Ward is on the commissioner's exemption.
Yeah, he will not be getting any pick sixes anytime soon.
It's not the same as getting a tax exemption. it's not a good thing.
Not near. Yeah. You do get paid still, though, on the commissioner's exempt list. You do get a check.
Yeah. Yeah. But you do have to pay your taxes on that.
You do. Yeah. Or else.
If you're so inclined.
Or else, other people come knocking.
Personally, I take a different interpretation of the Constitution.
Yes, sir.
I think, Seth, you're pointing out one of the things that makes me smile whenever I hear commissioner's exempt list is they've done a great job of branding that because that's administrative leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If we're going to call it what it actually is. That's administrative leave, but they're like, no, you're on a special commissioner.
Yeah, when you're exempt, that feels like you're getting over in some way, you know?
And not just any exemption, the commissioner's exemption.
Right, Roger Goodell's personal exemption list.
It sounds close to a commissioner's commendation. So it almost feels like you should be getting a key to the city, which does not unlock the doors to the facility, but a key to the city.
John Lopez, Reggie Atatula in studio. Hi, do you guys like the medal that Seth's wearing around his neck?
I did see that. The most important thing is finishing.
Yeah.
Ultra marathon finisher's medal. That's right. Finisher.
Because I got Seth heated today because I was listening to the toss between y'all and the drive yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Do I owe Seth an apology? Because I did kind of stir that thing up.
No. Clint's a big boy.
Clint, who was calling me a fat ass, is the one that needs to apologize. I don't expect him to apologize. I expect him to lose when I face him in a 1 mile race. Yes.
He's in on this. So we're putting the WrestleMania card together right now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And the main event is Payne versus Sterner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing the full four because that has been the thing that I've thought about the most over the last, let's say, 12 hours is, am I actually going to have to leg this thing out? Like, am I actually going to have to
run it? You're going
to
run against Bajani. Seth seems to want to put everybody on the track. I want matchups. I want me and Lopez.
You want heats
on that track? Yes.
It's a skins game or something. Sean and I disagree on this. I feel like there are individual matchups, and it's Bajani versus Reginald. It's Seth versus Clint.
Yeah.
It's Lopez versus Sean.
Yeah.
And yet, I feel like doing it all on the same track at the same time creates more drama and everything.
Maybe.
You know, like, I think it does slow down to give Sean some encouragement at some point.
And what if Sean's feeling frisky that day and he ends up passing, like, Reggie or something?
Yeah, that is the thing. Which doesn't bode well for me.
It's just so personal with me and John, though.
No, there's nowhere for me to, like, benefit. There's only ways for me to lose.
That's true. I should want this. I can draft off of people.
Yeah.
No,
maybe you keep pace with somebody and you find more deep within yourself than you realized you even had.
Yeah.
If it's only one person versus the other two, Sean, it gets real boring if one guy's a lap out ahead.
Yeah,
the second
that's where you
got
to find some things to talk about on the PA overhead.
Right.
Astros getting blown out last night. And actually, you know what, Seth? Good point. I'm bringing up it's like the Astros getting blown out last night. I'm like, I was supremely bored. You're right, Seth.
We all need to run it
at the same time. Okay, yeah, I will say this. Like, hearing Ron and Patrick Creighton both entertaining the possibility of beating me in this thing has irked me as well, all right?
Yeah.
So,
all due respect, Patrick Creighton. I saw you almost die in the hallway.
Whoa, what are you? No, that's dirty pool. We can't do that. That's dirty pool.
I work out every day, you know? I do something. I'm either on the elliptical.
You've been on a kick lately.
I've been on a kick lately. I text you guys from the elliptical sometimes.
I would say, just like a normal race, you're going to have the overall race. Everybody runs together, but then there's categories. And our categories will be like, ex-NFL player versus ex-NFL player.
Yeah.
Sean and Lopez, whatever category you two are in.
Aging vets.
Aging veteran category.
Aging vets who claim we work out all the time.
The Trent Brown division.
Yes.
Lopez and I are going for
it. We can put names on it.
It's a big Trent Brown trophy. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I guess Bajani and Reginald would be, are you fit or are you just Instagram fit?
Yeah. Is it fitness or metabolism is the question.
Yeah. All right. Well, the bottom line is this absolutely needs to happen. So we're
now until, I gotta start running again.
When it gets cooler out,
my knees and my back are going to go out on me.
I almost feel like the purpose of it, like we should do it tomorrow because it was almost like a right now thing. I bet I can beat you. No, I can beat you.
Yeah.
Now if we start training, we might wind up with a bunch of guys running like, you know, 7 minute miles.
Well, I can give you my word.
Yeah.
I will not be trained. You will not catch me running.
Oh, I already texted Dr. Lowe and I said, listen, I don't know what your ethical restrictions are as far as cortisone shots, but just go ahead and throw them in a dumpster. we're about to push the boundaries of ethics in modern medicine.
Okay. Now, Seth asked me to ask my daughter to put together a training regimen for him.
God.
Oh, this
is
serious.
If I'm going to be on the same track as Seth, I might need her to poison his training regimen. Yeah, if we're technically running against each other
now. You sprint as hard as you can.
Yeah.
No, for a mile?
Just get out in front of everybody. That is what she used to
get
do.
Get way out there.
She was much better being way out in front than she was trailing people.
Seth would be crawling on the left.
Be the leg. Advice, yeah. Hey, Judy, here's the guy you coached right here. Hands and knees.
No, I won't fall for that. I'm good at the kick that last, yeah.
Well, the kick? Yeah, the kick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question of the day.
In honor of Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah.
He gone.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite sports flash in the pan?
Me, when I run the mile. That's you, Lopez. Yeah.
It's a one-time thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mine is actually, this is going to show my age. The one that comes up in my mind all the time when I think of like one-year wonders, mm-hmm. one-hit wonders, you'll remember, Lopez. Mm-hmm. There was a rookie outfielder for the Cleveland Indians back in 1980 named Joe Charbonneau.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the Rookie of the Year that year. He was a phenom.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good. And that was the only good year he ever had because he was a kook. Mm-hmm. He was a nut. He burned his own hair. He chewed on broken glass. He popped a long neck beer, the cap, using his eye socket.
Yeah.
He was a.
You sound like a wrestler.
He would have been a great wrestler back in the day.
No wonder you like him.
Joe Charbonneau. He's a Cleveland guy, Figgy.
Of mine is an also old school one. I was just fascinated by it. And they had Monday Night Baseball. I used to watch him all the time. Detroit Tigers, Mark the Bird Fidrich.
Oh, this iconic Sports Illustrated cover of him and Big Bird from Sesame Street. Yeah.
I liked Eddie the Eagle, the first ski jumper for Britain in the 1988 Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Big old Coke. Speaking of Coke bottles, big old Coke bottle glasses. Had to wear. He's got a little Forrest Gump like. He had to wear braces on his legs as a kid, and then he had up to be a really, really just a horrible ski jumper. But
that's a good one.
He was English, I think, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He was Britain's first ski jumper.
Get out of here. Stop.
Who?
It.
Ray Gunn. Breakdancer.
The breakdancer.
Oh,
the
Australian. Australian? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, this will be good. I say this all the time when you guys do the question of the day. This is a good text topic.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of good ones. All right, fellas. Well, we make way for In the Loop.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and I am right now starting my training regimen and the only reason I'm running this mile is I'm going to up my carb intake. I got to start.
Good reason.
I got to start eating like a distance runner. So here we go.
They call him.
I'm off to a loaf of bread, my friend.
A lot of pasta.
They call him the finisher. And it says so on his medal hanging around his neck right now. He is Seth Payne.
Finishers.
He's going to finish the race and finish a bag of potato rolls today to carb up. All right, well, we're done. We're out of time. Hey, Crosstalk was brought to you by D&M Leasing. Squared. Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Leasing. That was me saying it twice right there. All right, you're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.